flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, we hope you survived the weather wherever you were last night. Of course, it's still impacting Atlanta and down south of our state. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. Mike Bell, you are down south. You sent some pictures earlier. And again, we are weather aware on this show. But you know, again, it's sunny outside, so it may be misleading, especially if you didn't get any of this snow. But where they did, it iced up again, and the roads are still bad, right?
Yeah, man, there's that sort of diagonal line that cuts through metro Atlanta. And if you are southeast of 85, yeah, it seems like it's still funky. So thanks to our boss, Mike Conti, for letting me not have to worry about the hill. You've got a hill by you, and I've got a hill by me. And I don't know, man, I'm 35 years south of the Mason-Dixon, Carl, and even with all-wheel drive, I'm not messing with the hill. So happy to work from home one more day. We'll be back in studio tomorrow.
Yeah, I did this a few years ago. Matter of fact, it was right after Snowmageddon. People forget we had Snowmageddon in 14, and then we had another snow that was big, and everybody was freaking out. Right. But tried to make it down the hill in four-wheel drive in our truck at the time, and didn't make it. That's a story where I tell you I'm sliding. I'm going to hit the stop sign, and I may run into my neighbor's house. And I stopped just short of the stop sign. Like, literally, God spared me right. of, like, splitting the truck in half. And the truck stayed there for 3 or 4 days. I just got out, walked back up my hill, and went home. And I literally was like, well, guess I'm not going anywhere. Because I was being a smart A. And Michelle was like, oh, you can't drive anywhere. And I was like, I'm going to drive. I can try and get out of here. Never again. So I understand. And I think for those of you who, again, maybe on the highway or whatever, and you're like, there's nothing wrong with the roads. Not on the highway. It's getting out of your neighborhoods and getting to the main road. So be safe if you're out and about. Man, we got a lot to chop up today. I'll tell you this. The Jets hiring Aaron Glenn, and we're starting to see some of these coaching hires get filled. The big one for us, obviously, was defensive coordinator. And that position has been filled by Jeff Ulbrich. I have a question for you, though. Because Turtle was asking me this, and look, I'm trying to be objective here. I know we're all in our fields still somewhat because we wanted either another guy or a different perspective. But how much does Jeff Ulbrich and Raheem Morris's history impact his tenure here? And this is what I'm getting to. When the tough decisions have to be made, are they going to be on the same page? Or is Raheem going to intervene and say, oh, I really like that guy. I mean, I think that guy's pretty good. I don't know, Jeff, maybe we need to hold on to him. Or Mike, is he going to allow Jeff to come in here and revamp and do whatever the hell he needs to do to make this defense right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think much changes about our approach. I mean, it's more what we saw. I don't think, and again, when we get a chance to get with Jeff Ulbrich, with the media, gets a chance, whether it's mini camp, and we'll talk about what the philosophy is. I mean, it's still very similar to what they ran. I don't know. You know, they'll call a press conference at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's Dan Quinn's defense. It's Raheem's defense, what Jimmy Lake was trying to run. And unless you get better athletes in here, I don't know how that changes from last year, but maybe Jeff's got a better handle on it. Remember, Jimmy Lake had never been a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Jeff Ulbrich has. Jets had decent numbers. Can't deny that. But, it just, as we said, it was just a tad underwhelming. I mean, we kind of spent our piece on that yesterday, but I think, Carl, they're super good tight buddies. They got the same vision, so I don't think there's much controversy or any conflict. They're going to run what they're going to run. Yeah. And just hope we got the horses to do it.
Well, and that's where I'm at. I think this may be a little bit of an overreaction. When I talked to Chris about it today, I was like, okay, I understand that. I get it. You're talking about where's the communication level when you say, hey, decisions have to be made, and because of this relationship, is it going to interfere? Guys, there are tons of people around the league that have these relationships. Just because you don't know about it doesn't mean that this stuff doesn't go on. So I feel like ultimately, you know what Jeff wants? Success. You know what Raheem wants? Success. I don't care how we get there. And if that means a few disagreements or Mike, they're on the same page for every damn thing. At the end of the day, if we get dubs and the defense gets better, I mean, for me, that's really all that matters. I'm not sitting here today in January where it's cold outside and thinking about the disagreements between Jeff and Raheem and how they're going to disagree on players. My guess is he got the job because they actually agree on a lot of things, and that's kind of what you're saying, right?
Right. Look, I mean, they are a super tight crew, and that's, as we said, there's friendships that run marrow deep in some cases. Other guys, you know, as you said, Carl, there's just familiarity. It's a very, very incestuous business. Everybody knows everybody. Yep. I just, my argument, and like every time we talk about the Falcons, whether it's you and me breaking down a heartbreaking loss on a Monday or something we don't like about the draft, in April, I have an overreaction. It's like the three, it's not the five or six stages. I go through three stages. I'm angry. I don't like it. And then eventually you just, after the second day, well, look, they're not changing their mind. Jeff Ulbrich's going to be here, so there's no sense in you and me bellyaching about it. But I would say that I still maintain having a fresh set of eyes, something that presses you out of your comfort zone, is a nice way to approach it sometimes, especially when you think about, the issues we've had to deal with this franchise. But it's, as you said, it checks all the boxes, runs the same defense, okay. But when you have had a cycle of failure and a cycle of the same approach over and over, that just rubs me the wrong way. That's nothing to do with Jeff personally, as we said yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. 404-726-0929. That is the number for you to hit us up. You can also text us, and we'd love to hear from you on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. Find Mike, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Big O had a room last night. I think Turtle made it home because he lives close to Midtown, but, still a mile or whatever it's away. He made it home. But Big O was telling me that the hotel bar was popping again last night, Mike. Ironically, that hotel connected to our radio. It's not connected to our radio station, but in the same building. So, I think he didn't get
so
any
Big
sleep
O, man.
Last night. I don't think
you get it in last night. You get it in, big man. What happened?
I got some sleep last night. That's what I got in the bed.
I don't believe you. I think you were at the bar all night.
He's a great, and by the way, he's a very big, charismatic guy. He's got a great rap. That's why he's landed a knockout. He's got one lovely kid and one on the way.
Yeah.
So, Oren, if he wants to flex like that, Carl, he's got it in his repertoire.
I know. Well, he said that. I was like, how was it last night? He was like, it was unbelievable. I was at the bar all night. I was like, wow, you're getting it in. He's like,
is your wife
buying me drinks? I was like, man, this is crazy.
Phone call from the wife in 3, 2.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Because one thing, told her, I don't know, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing. As my father said, lying is good for a relationship. It strengthens it sometimes. But as Carl says, I don't know if Michelle is always watching, listening, judging. Now, my wife, our office is the way the design of our house. My man loft is above her office. She got the better office in the deal. What can I tell you? We draw straws and I got the short end of the stick. But yeah, so sometimes, Oren, it's good for you to get out there and just do your thing, just proving you still got the skills. Exactly. Not that you act on it, of course.
Yeah. I mean, you were flirting a little bit last night, though? You were flirting a little bit?
I'm pleading the fifth. How about that?
Some woman in for a convention. Woman's in for a convention, and you know, Orin's a great listener, Carl. You can see it happen. She snowed in, couldn't get her flight out of Hartsfield.
Who could?
Baka chicka wow, baka chicka bow bow, baka chicka bow.
Oh, you know I'm messing with you, man. I'm just glad you guys are safe. Turtle is in today as well, executive producing. Hey, we'll talk about the Hawks matchup. By the way, fellas, no word yet, right? I mean, is this matchup going to happen tonight? Detroit's in town. You know, they
have. Sounds like it's happening.
Okay.
Yeah. Marta's on a weekend schedule. Sorry, we have a half second delay with us being so far apart, so I apologize again. But I will let Carl talk first all day here. But yeah, I saw that Marta is running a weekend schedule. Buses aren't running. So there is, for folks who are going to rely on mass transit, you don't have as many options other than to get away a little bit longer for your train, depending on where you're coming from. But hopefully, you know, the interstate's going to be okay. I just know, as you said, surface streets are still funky.
All right, so yeah, Hawks have a matchup with Detroit. We'll talk about the Hawks coming up here. And we got to talk about Trae Young and just how good he's been. The Hawks are, what, 5-5 in the last 10? We'll see what happens here. This is a stretch of games. You get Toronto twice between now and Sunday. They come in, it's a back-to-back, but you get some time off. You don't, you know, it's not a back-to-back game as far as Thursday, Friday. I think it's Thursday, Saturday. And then the Pistons. Here's the thing, though. Pistons are improved. They're playing really well. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So we'll talk about that along the way. Also, Mike, we are going to get a chance today to talk to Pierce Johnson. As you like to say, Pierce
Johnson.
Exactly. Braves pitcher is going to stop by the show. He's a cool dude, man. We'll talk to him coming up here on the show and get his perspective. Spring training, guys, as we mentioned, pitchers and catchers. And I'm looking right now at my calendar. It is mid-January. Pitchers and catchers report on the 12th.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 12th. So I think that's the first workout as well.
Right.
The first, a squad workout. So this thing is right around the corner. But we'll get his take on all the things that are going on, his offseason, this team, et cetera, as we talk some Braves. And then our buddy Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us, SiriusXM NBA host. I got to get my man Sam Mitchell on because him and Brian do a show together. And Sam hit me up last time we had Brian on. I was like, yo, when we going to talk some hoops? And I love him. So Brian's going to stop by. But Mike, he's always controversial when he comes on our show when it comes to the NBA and certainly our Hawks. And Bill Bender's going to stop by from Sporting News, senior writer, to talk some college football later in the show in the 5 o'clock hour. Because now it's, you know, we're starting to, the season's over. And we can start looking at what these teams are going to look like potentially and how things are going to shake out. But Mike and I said this to you guys yesterday. Georgia guys are going to be one of the top teams in the country. Whether you think they should be or not, they're going to be one of the top-ranked teams as the season starts next year.
Right. And look, Big Ten is flexing right now. 2 years in a row of natties, so they get it right. And look, the SEC, as we know, and you throw in Clemson and Florida State, you know, it's been 20 years with Ohio State, you know, popping up in between. It's been domination from the Southeastern Conference. But look, I will say this. If Alabama's center knew how to snap a ball, Alabama and Jalen Milroe might have taken out Michigan in that Rose Bowl. Yep. And it might have been, but they didn't. But they didn't. And Georgia couldn't beat Notre Dame. So you got to say, look, it is what it is. I mean, I don't think this means that forever now the Big Ten dominates. No. Somebody just cut a bigger check at Georgia. Get guys can hold on to a football and block and sack a quarterback, and you're going to be right back in there. That's
keep
what
spending, is keep spending.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's no big magic formula. Get better dudes. Kirby had better dudes in the back-to-back natties. The last 2 years, they haven't been as good. Not that complicated.
No, it isn't. And part of this is, too, I mean, you get guys that can play, but how much better do they get during the season? I think some of those guys for Ohio State, they were all talented coming in, but they really grew as a team and certainly in some of their position players. And, you know, we always talk about this. Like, when we start saying, hey, Georgia's going to send 9 guys to the NFL this year, that's when you know they're really good. All right. That's the situation with Ohio State. It was the situation with Michigan the year before. That is when you know you're really good. And for Georgia, that's not the case this year. You know, as a matter of fact, the guy we thought that would maybe win the Heisman and be a first round pick, Mike, at quarterback, hell, is still in college football and transferred out. So
yeah, it's all about the U.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, when we come back, though, one of the all-time great Braves sets the record straight. And he couldn't be more correct about what he said. And it speaks to what still goes on. Atlanta bias next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Lots of stuff going on around the National Football League. We're going to talk about it in our 4th and 1 segment coming up. At the top of the hour, Aaron Glenn is set to become the Jets head coach and new head coach, should I say. The deal was in place apparently yesterday. They interviewed and he left, thought about it, and then came back today and said, all right, yeah, I do want the job. But they were hoping that he would take the job yesterday. And then, Mike, you alluded to Ben Johnson having his presser, and he said, you know, of course, he said all the right things. I have my reservations about Ben just as a guy that is a leader of men and can control a team and certainly do the things that you need to do as a head coach. Not going to question his, you know, football acumen when it comes to offensive football and what he's done. But that's still, you know, we got to figure that out. We'll see if that happens. But he did say he's excited to work with Caleb. And, Mike, you remember, I think last week, Caleb Williams said that he wanted to work with a young offensive coordinator that he could grow with. Well, he got the guy.
He's been in the NFL since 2012. He was an assistant with the Dolphins. He's been a quarterback's coach, as you know, climbing the ladder, and eventually in Detroit, passing game coordinator, and then the OC, and everyone's saying he's really, you know, helped to revitalize Jared Goff's career, and that's great. Oren, do you let me know if you get that video, that audio from today's presser, because it is pretty interesting. He is making an entrance. It was pretty cool. Caleb Williams gives him a fist bump as he makes it in to the big room where the media is assembled. Here he is, Carl, talking about division rivals and not backing away.
Okay. I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's 3 teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about 2 guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Okay. So, for those who are not familiar with the recent Bears history, Ryan Poles said they were going to run the North, basically. And needless to say, that has not panned out. So, I think that's why you didn't hear a lot of people like, yeah, get him, coach. He was like, What did he just say? What? So, if you know, Carl and I, over the years, we've had a lot of fun breaking down, you know, press conferences from, was it Jim Tom Sula with the 49ers?
Yep. Yes,
you know,
sir.
The Dan Campbell saying he was going to, you know, bite people on the knees, you know, to Sirianni. And Sirianni's made it to a Super Bowl. And Tom Sula, you know, lasted 1 year. And Campbell's, you know, going to have to rebuild this thing in Detroit after losing his staff. So, again, you only get one chance to make a first impression. Nobody will remember what you said unless, you know, you really stink it up. And you validate, I don't know, what did you make? He went there, Carl. A lot of folks at Chicago already saying, oh, don't poke that bear. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, look, Aaron Rodgers, for his time in Green Bay, owned the Bears. And I think in his last game where he scored, he even, you know, pointed to the sky and put the numbers up, which was a ridiculous number. Like, he lost to the Bears like three times or something of that nature. Point is, it's good for the league. I don't know, with you not having won a game as a head coach yet and Matt LaFleur's team being the youngest team in the National Football League, and the projections there, guys, are Green Bay is built for the long haul. They're going to be a problem for a while. And so, yeah, you're talking it, you know, to quote Amigos, Mike, you walk it like you talk it. You better back this up. And I don't have an issue with it, because from afar, like, I think we need these rivalries. I like it when the Bears don't like the Packers. I like it when the Jets and the Giants are good and they don't like each other. And I know it's been a long time. Or the Patriots and the Jets, which may happen again here with Vrabel and Aaron Glenn now becoming the new head coaches. Mm. That stuff is good for the league. I love the fact that we have our rivalry with the Saints. And whether or not it's respected around the league as it should be, we know in New Orleans and certainly here in the ATL what that's all about. That stuff is good for the league, man. So I'm all about it, but to your point, like, this is your first presser, bro, as the head coach. You might want to back that down a little bit. Just a little bit.
Right. As we said, you know, you could be, and like, we all know, guys, if everybody was really good at being a head coach, then no one would ever get fired. And every year there's turnover. There's generally like a quarter of the league or more has got to find new coaches. And some guys are great as assistants. Some guys are offensive geniuses. Some guys, you know, they're Bill Walsh. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you got Marty Morningweg. You know, so guys, they're not head coaches. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, I've learned my lesson not to judge, but it was interesting that you chose to go with that route in his introductory press conference in Chi-Town.
Yeah, my whole thing with the pressers, and it has been for many years, is simply, do you sound like you know what you're doing?
Right.
Nobody knows, really, until you get into the building. And that's why I don't get overly excited about these hires now. Because, again, you're talking about, you know, 30 years of seeing and hearing and being at these press conferences, Mike. I've heard it. I've heard guys come in and bang the table and say, we're going to win. And I've heard guys come in and say, I'm going to do the best job I can. Somewhere in between. You don't know until they get the job. And so when I hear guys get up there like, the UCLA coach this year, right? We played that presser when he was at the Big Ten, yeah. Media week. And he's like, we're UCLA and we're in LA. And you're going, what the hell, bro? What are you doing?
Right.
So
Yeah. Yeah, that was the ultimate, oh boy, because it makes you wonder, is this guy going to be qualified to handle the responsibilities of being a head coach? You've been an OC. You've got your fiefdom. It's one side of the football, the organizational thing. What's your staff going to be like? You know, how do you fix, first thing, like, fix Caleb Williams and you're all set. Get the most out of that number one overall pick and you'll be fine. And that's why this made the most sense. I never thought it made any sense to go back to a defensive coordinator for Chicago just based on you've got to get the most out of your number one overall pick.
404-726-0929, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Mike, we got to hit this because it just this isn't pointed at anybody specifically. But when we left the show yesterday and we were talking about Andrew Jones being left off again the Hall of Fame, you know, ballot, and he should be a Hall of Famer. Chipper Jones put it out there, and I just want to read this to you because Chipper knows he's a Hall of Famer and he knows that Andrew deserves to be one as well. But he says, I want to ask you voters something. If Andrew Jones played in New York, and he was a Yankee for 15 years with 10 gold gloves and 400 home runs and 13 ribbies, would he be a Hall of Famer? And Chipper smartly answered his own question saying, let me answer it for you. First ballot. He's right. And this has nothing to do with Andrew Jones. See, this is why I always say, if you are a voter, just simply ask yourself, was that guy the best at his position for 5 years or more? He's a Hall of Famer. It's that simple. And if you lasted 15 or 18 years and you were better than that, then the question, it shouldn't even be on the ballot. You should automatically know. And so when Chipper laid this out, and, you know, numerous people have responded and has made national news, and that's fine. But I'm with him on this. And this gets back to this thing where, well, if he didn't play in Atlanta, what the hell, man? It's not like they didn't win. It's not like he wasn't great. Acknowledge what it was and let's put him where he deserves to be. And we're always making these examples. Well, if it was New York, if it was Boston, if it's Chicago, who gives a damn? And that's the most frustrating thing about this, Mike, is Chipper Jones, one of the greatest players ever, is like, let me help you guys with this. This dude had 400 home runs and had 1,300 ribbies, 10 gold gloves, and you're telling me he's not a Hall of Famer?
And it goes back to, and I agree with Chipper. I mean, there is, when you're in a smaller market, and Atlanta has gotten bigger and bigger. When I moved here, it was the 11th largest city. It's going to be the 6th largest city in America. And, you know, when you have the pressure of the New York media, the bigger markets in L.A. and Chicago, they have their agendas. They have more writers. That's why people always ask. And I've seen a bunch of guys and some writers I'm not fans of, but I agree with them on this point. Let's have total transparency. You know, there's too many guys writing, writers that have a vote. Some guys who really know baseball who don't have a vote. And let's see exactly what's on your sheet. Who is the knucklehead who didn't put Ichiro on there? You know what I mean? Come on. But this gets back to, you know, is it the Hall of Great? Is it the Hall of Fame? The Hall of Good? The Veterans Committee has put some guys in there who probably don't deserve to be. There's guys from back in the 1890s that nobody even knows, and their stats don't even come close. But I mean, it's just every era's got a different vibe, and there's a different thing about, you know, the dead ball era when the pitching was great with Bob Gibson and you know, Drysdale and Koufax. It baseball is constantly moving and evolving. But I say this, Harold Baines has 2,800 hits, and I can't remember a game that Harold Baines even played in, you know, and he's in the Hall of Fame. But Andrew Jones, coming up as a teenager, the amazing catches, everything, you know, Chipper said. And I said this goes back to the Falcons too. Dale Murphy. Now, look, I don't know, you might know, because you get more baseball writer friends than I do, did Don Mattingly tick off the wrong people? Because the only thing that squashes the argument against Dale Murphy and against Andrew that Chipper's putting out there is how Don Mattingly isn't in the Hall of Fame, because for 5 or 6 years, he was one of the top players in the league. But if you put Tommy Nobis or Jeff Van Note or Jesse Tuggle in a Giants or Jets uniform, they'd all have gold jackets, because there's guys from the exact same statistical standpoint that played in a bigger market that are in. That's the beef, and I do agree with Chipper on that side of the argument.
Yeah. No, listen, everything he said is right. I guess I'm reacting to the just...
You belong. Andrew Jones should be in. Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame. Dale Murphy played clean. And, like, I know the guys who were in the steroid era, they're going to twist
MVP,
in the wind for decades.
MVP, right. Dude. Like, what?
Twice.
More?
Right, and he was clean, and he's you don't have to be a good guy or a bad guy to be in the Hall of Fame. Look, Curt Schilling is a son of a blank, but Curt Schilling deserves to be in a Hall of Fame. Yes, he's an idiot. Yes, he runs his mouth. There's nothing against a free country because the media elite doesn't agree with Curt Schilling. That's another guy I should be in. I hate these petty the agendas that always crop up with all the Halls of Fame.
Petty, you said it. This hour is brought to you by Padley. That's Padly, buys.com. Sell your home for fast and for cash, guys. Cash and fast with Padley. Hey, coming up, we'll get to our daily download. We got a lot more to get to. You guys can hit us up on that conversation. It doesn't matter what you think about the Braves as an organization. This is just plain and simple. This is black and white. There is no gray. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're sitting here fussing about this whole, like yesterday we talked about it. Andrew's going to get in, but it shouldn't be this damn hard when he was that damn good. It's Dukes and Bell. Funny, Tomahawkin, that's his Twitter handle. He says, if Andrew Jones hit those two home runs at age 19 wearing a Yankee uniform, he'd be in the Hall already.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
It's true. He says, the baseball writers are a blanking joke. I'll let you fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is what's wrong with baseball. Well, Tomahawkin, this is what's wrong with this aspect is once you've completed your career and you are notably one of the greatest to do it at your position, this should be a no-brainer. And to Mike's point, some of these guys, not all, and I'm not going to take shots. We could go down the list of, you know, well, if you have to do that, he's not a Hall of Famer. If you go, well, he's not a guy. It should be Andrew Jones. Oh, 10 gold gloves, 7, 8 years, the best in his position. Man, he played a crucial part in the Braves' success, blah, blah, blah. You could go down the Hall of Famer. That's what we're talking about. When I say Chipper Jones, you guys don't go, you go Hall of Famer. That's what it is.
Right.
So, I'm so frustrated with this.
I mean, in the NFL, it's different. I know it's apples to oranges. You don't have to have the longevity. You can be the man, and we call it the Gale Sayers kind of, like, you know, rule, where you can just be electric for a shorter amount of time. And again, I think in baseball, if you are a 300 hitter for your career and you got over 2,000 hits and you were an MVP, you could be a Hall of Famer. That's Don Mattingly. And, I loathe the Yankees. So I know that Andrew, look, we all know what drove Braves fans crazy. We even asked Andrew about it. I think you and I spoke about 2 years ago about, did you really ever have a plan at the plate? You know, low and away. You know, if you had those, remember they have that rectangle and they'd show you what your cold zone was? man, low and away. If he could just lay off some of that stuff, the strikeouts. And when he left Atlanta, we know the career just kind of nosedived. But for 10 years, you know, or more, he was one of the great talents of the league. So, yes, we're not too close to it. I think it's being objective, and I'm that's why I'm balancing it with the Don Mattingly argument.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the tweet. You guys can hit us up and let us know what you think. Hey, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home for the NFL playoffs. Join us for all of the action, the conference championship games this Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is also your home of Westwood One, and it's brought to you by the Greater Atlanta Area McDonald's. Enjoy steak on any breakfast favorite by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors. By Prize Picks as well, guys. Run your game, and by Chattanooga Whiskey, the Tennessee way. Check out all of that NFL action as we'll have it for you here on our station. We're going to talk more about the matchups as we get into the week here. Listen, I don't know if I'm more intrigued, Mike, right now by the Bills and Chiefs because of the history and Josh and Mahomes, or if I'm more to see if Commanders can pull this upset off. Like, I think about it, I am rooting for the Commanders to do this.
Yeah, dude, you know me. I thought, and I was banging the drum for Jaden Daniels. I thought Jaden Daniels would be better than Caleb Williams, and I think he's electrifying. People are worried about his size, and he's showing the ability to, you know, get away. Don't take the big hit. This guy's just got such, I mean, you see him on the sideline? You know, we joked around about A.J. Brown reading a book. This guy looks like he's just chilling. You wouldn't even know he's in an NFL game. He's so cool.
True.
You know?
It's true.
And so, I mean, I don't think the moment will not be too big for him. He's already played in Philadelphia this year with the Commanders. And I get it. There's a lot of our fan base, you know, Falcon fans, that just, they can never forgive Dan Quinn for not having the common sense those final 5 minutes. Look, man, forgive and forget. And the Eagles are just awful, and Philadelphia's terrible. So, yes, I am all in. I am all in for the Commanders, and I am all in for Buffalo, because those people, talk about long-suffering. Those people deserve it, and I think we're all suffering from Chief fatigue and the feeling the refs are always in their corner. So, yes, I would love to see Commanders in Buffalo. Not sure we're going to get that, though.
Yeah, and remember, the Bills should have won against the Chiefs a few years ago.
Right, when, didn't have the extra, didn't have the overtime rule. They changed it because of that game.
That's right. And so, I mean, like, as much as we's like, oh, do we even give them a chance? Yeah, they should have beaten them a few years ago. We'll get into all of that and much more. Big O's back at the studio along with our man Turtle, who's executive producing. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Well, guys continue to interview around the NFL for these head coaching jobs. If you're just joining us, the Jets finalizing their deal with Aaron Glenn to become their new head coach. So Vrabel gets the New England job. Aaron Glenn, former DC of the Lions, gets the Jets job. And Mike, ironically, Bill Belichick was asked about these coordinators interviewing for jobs. Listen to this.
I've never been a big fan of it. I think it's really unfortunate. When you have a team, including the coaches and the coordinators, work so hard all year to get to the playoffs, to have an opportunity to play in conference championships and Super Bowls, and then they're totally distracted by another team who was a bad team, who has a coaching change, infringing on that team that's trying to get to a championship, you know, by hiring one of their top coaches. Nobody would be happy if that was a player. For a coach, that's also, you know, very disruptive, especially when you're the play caller.
Interesting. You agree with the Bill on that?
You know, it's something we've talked about. You hate to have, you know, Kyle Shanahan was interviewing when he was preparing for the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, I mean, I talked about as an FSU fan, Mark Richt getting ready to coach Georgia and one of the worst Florida State offensive performances in his final game as OC. So you've always worried that the coaches, they're distracted. And how could you not be, especially if it's your first chance to be a head coach? But, I mean, it's so tough, though, because teams want to – what do you do? You're going to put a hiring freeze until the season's over? Teams want to, you know, get moving with their personnel department. So I see both sides of it, but I would have to agree with Belichick. It sucks.
Yeah, I don't like it either. And here's the deal. We haven't been affected by it because we haven't been good enough. When your staff gets really good and your team is playing well, we at some point hopefully will be affected by this, where teams are going to try to come poach our guys. I don't like it either. And the timing of it is what we're talking about here. And the thing for me is always, why can't you just wait till after the Super Bowl to do all of this?
Right.
You know,
so if you could do, if you could create like a 10-day free for all between the Super Bowl and the Combine, why not? NFL, the NFL can do whatever they want. You know, they set the rules, just push everything back a little bit, and I don't think the Players Association would, you know, make a bellyache about that. It, I don't think it affects your schedule in the spring and all. I agree with you. It's not the worst idea from Belichick.
Meanwhile, Bill Parcells was asked about Aaron Glenn getting the Jets job. He coached him with the Jets and the Cowboys, and he's loving this. He says Aaron Glenn is not afraid to be contentious. He says he's feisty, but he's not rude or impolite. He's just willing to get his point across. And of course, Bill was that guy too. And sometimes Bill was rude. But Mike, you know, you talk about a mindset of going to some of these places. I don't know if Aaron Glenn can turn around the Jets as long as Woody's in control and doing the stuff he's doing. But his attitude is right. I do know that about AG. He's got the right approach. I just don't know if he'll be given the time to turn this thing around. And then his biggest question is, do you want the quarterback back? Do you want
right.
Aaron Rodgers back?
Well, I think you got to turn that page, don't you?
I
think if you're Aaron Glenn, and you go, look, you got to have patience. Here's the thing with Woody Johnson, you got to have patience. But I would say this, you know, it's the great debate that we had with Dimitroff and Mike Smith, and then later on how it worked with Dan Quinn. Do you hire the general manager first? Do you hire the coach first? I think Aaron Glenn is such an alpha male with the history with the Jets. Let him get the you get him first, and then you fight and you consult with him on who the GM is, and let him drive the bus. You know, so many times, and you know the New York media and everything else. And Chris, if you want to jump in as a Jets fan, I know they've apparently got GM candidates. They've but no one's rock solid just yet. But I think let Aaron Glenn is a breath of fresh air. Nothing against Robert Saleh. I think he got a raw deal there as well. But I don't think you want Aaron Rodgers within a mile of the new Jets under Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, I'll just jump in here for a second. It's ironic. Aaron Glenn has actually come out and said publicly, Mike, that he wants him back for one more season in New York.
Don't do it. No.
Yeah.
No, Aaron, no.
So
no.
And the guy that they're targeting for GM is Lance Newmark, who has previous ties to Glenn and the organization. So it looks like they want to pair them together and make it a head coach and GM. Maybe a collaboration, Carl and Mike?
No, man. See, I just laid out the perfect scenario, and the Jets going to jet. No. I feel like Lego Batman. No. Because I love Aaron Glenn. Carl knows him better than I do, but I mean, I think he's a guy's guy, stand-up dude. He's got
Don't do it.
And by the way, being the model of Belichick, and everybody wants to be, truly see it through. Let him pick all this stuff. Oh, boy.
Does that mean, too, Turtle, and I'm just guessing here, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Obviously, if Aaron's back, that means all his boys are back, right? Right?
Well, I think the running theory is there is they're picking just low enough in the draft that they're not going to be able to get one of the big two quarterbacks, so they might as well run it back with what they have. Guys like Lazard and those, I don't think they're going to be back next year. But
no?
In terms of Davante Adams, the big one, here's the problem with Davante Adams. His deal needs to be restructured. He's making a lot of money next year, and they're not going to be able to have both him and Aaron on the roster unless they do some major overhauling. So it's going to be interesting to see how, if they do go with Lance Newmark, how he's able to finagle the cap.
All right. Aaron Glenn hired today as the Jets' new head coach. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Hawks in action tonight against the Pistons. Hawks guys been playing well. I know they lost on MLK Day, but the Pistons are 12-10 away from home, and they've been a surprise this year, to be quite honest with you. This is not the old, we're going to beat up on the Pistons, and this is an easy dub. J.B. Bickerstaff's their head coach. Mike, they are going to pose a test for the Hawks tonight. They are favored, I think, by 3 at home, and this starts a 3-game homestand, but Cade Cunningham, man, if you're not paying attention, this dude, he had a triple-double the other night. I think he had one against the Hawks earlier this season. It's 1 of 7 he's had this year. But let's hear Charles Barkley talk about our Hawks, because I think he's right when it comes to how you're viewing this team, as the Hawks being a team that's beaten the Cavs twice, the Celtics twice. They've beaten the Knicks twice up until Monday on MLK Day. Here's Charles Barkley talking about the Hawks being a sleeper.
I will tell you the team is dangerous, believe it or not. The Atlanta Hawks. I think the Atlanta Hawks, they're a sleeper in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Cavs and the Celtics and the Knicks. Well, the Cavs and the Celtics, they're top tier. I do think the Knicks need to make a trade to get stronger on the bench. I know they're getting Mitchell Robinson back or something.
Can the Hawks win the championship?
I don't know.
Answer is no.
A championship? Okay. No.
Answer is no. Can Cleveland win a championship? Yes. I'm talking championship.
The Hawks have been impressive against those teams ahead of them. They're going into today, they were 7-2 against the top four.
Yeah, and it's about matchups. It's about matchups.
Come on, Shaq. What the hell, Shaqtus? We need some more dudes. I mean, yes. I mean, we first things first. We're just a few games away from being in the four.
Right.
You know, right. We're just a half a game out of being in the five seat. But you've got to go. The only way we can get to Shaq to say yes on that is we have to go spend some loot, take on some salary, which I don't think we're prepared to do.
Demonstrably
better.
Would Shaq say that if we had another legitimate star? See, the problem is Dyson Daniels knows his role. He's playing his role great. Jalen Johnson's not a brand name in the league yet. The problem is Shaq doesn't see another star on this team where he looks at Cleveland and he goes, man, you know, Donovan Mitchell and all those stars that they've had, they've paid their guys. This is a team now that is built, and he's not lying. They are built for a championship run. But I'm going to tell you something. If we get Cleveland or Boston in a seven-game series, watch out. I'm just telling you. The matchups give them issues.
Right. No, we've got the defense. We've got the ability. You're right. And I would still like to have a little more size in the front court. Whatever happens with Capella's contract or not, you talked about a better maybe backup point guard for Trey so you don't lose anything when Trey's on the bench.
Yes.
I went back. I watched the Knicks game. The Knicks really came out. They outscored the Hawks 40-27 in the third quarter. And the problem was in this game, and he's been so good, to your point about Shaq and needing a star, this was arguably one of the worst games Jalen Johnson had this year. He was 4-12 from the floor. Only scored 11 because the Hawks and the Knicks were almost like even in rebounding, and they actually Hawks outshot the Knicks from 3-point range. You just need a little Jalen Johnson magic in that one. But I mean, that's and usually we get it from him. But I do think with the emergence of DeAndre Hunter, you know, you've got two stars with Trey if Jalen's on point and healthy. Yeah. So, but you know, go get some more, man. We need some more dudes though. Maybe Shaq will get on our side.
Can they win a championship?
No.
This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Padley, P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. All right, coming up, 4th-and-1. We're going to go around the NFL, guys. And does Purdy expect to get Dak Prescott money? I'm being serious. Stukes and Bell.